Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
In Bruton town there lived a farmer.
Yes, I did bust this last week, but a different version. Mr. V rocked up and said that he didn't really recognise it. He mentioned some kind of techno business. So I'm doing a rerun for Mr. V. Oh, this nice sideboard. Go on! Yeah! Revelations! Couldn't have came to style. Yeah, this is Sweet Talking Sport radio chat show presented by myself this evening. Straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest sports news stories with both interviews and joining audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether local or international. I can slow it down for the hard of hearing or the partially deaf. Good to go, air, style, expansive, debate, analysed by myself, like I said, previously. Sheffield's regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talk sports radio chat show you'll ever hear. You hear me? On point, live and direct, listen each Friday between 6 and 7, and if you're late, you can tune into the archives. Just ride the airways. Busting this for CV. This you on. You're liking it. Well tight. I'll chef your muscles out there, sir. It's a wrap. Yeah, I just thought I'd kind of entertain on a Sheffield height site there. Yeah? So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, please, 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 please keep this to yourself. Gonna sort of like start off with a bit of boxing, really. And I'm going to talk about it amateurs. This is a story not to be missed. Okay, so what we've got here, we're gonna dip into the Commonwealth Games. A racism claim has been rejected, so we're on the bandwagon again, once again, go around the world. Could tell Santa I'm your merry friend, you know. So claims by the boxer Abdul. He is the grandson, and I'm not even kicking with this one, is the grandson of Ugandan dictator, yeah? The one and only Idi Amin, yeah? So Abdul claims that racism was behind his disqualification at the Commonwealth Games, which was in Scotland, Glasgow. So the claims have been rejected by the president of the event's organisers. Abdul was ruled to have headbutted England's Damari Thomas, the amateur boxer Demore Thomas as the pair grappled during an untidy tear-up. Yeah, during round three of the fight, the 25-year-old, yeah, the judges were against him because he's black, African. That's what he had to say, yeah, referring to as Thomas by using a racial slur. So, you know, do you know what? I actually watched the fight on YouTube, yeah. Controversial, yes. It had that. Abdul, like I said, is the grandson of the Ugandan dictator who was what? I think he passed away early 2000, maybe between 2000 and 2003 of, you know, organ failure. That's what we do believe. But like I said, you know, the dictator was somebody not to ramp with. And Abdullah is looking to take the boxing by storm. He's got a nickname by the name of Ringo. I don't know where he get that from, but I don't know if he named it himself or his trainers give it him, his stable teammates give it to him. But anyway, he boxes under the umbrella of Uganda. And like I said, this was a controversial bout at the Commonwealth Games. Yeah, and they're all, you know, amateurs anyway. Scrappy fight. Thomas was the more technical fighter. He was comfortable. You know, the guy was landing some, you know, wicked combinations. But Abdul, you know, is quite dangerous on one hand. And in the pocket, you know, he gets up close. Yeah, he's kind of rugged. Yeah, he can deliver, you know, some lefts and rights. He's capable of taking opponents out, which I'll come to, you know, later on. So, Abdul, knows he didn't have, you know, like the better of Thomas, but very kind of dangerous opponent at times. Like I said, in the pocket, close up, yeah, he can scrap all right. He's up for a good kind of like tear up. You know, the referee Manuel stopped the fight and, you know, disqualified Abdul. So Abdul said, you know, it was about, you know, racism was behind it. And you know what? When you get situations like this, I listen, you know, to both camps. There's, you know, more than one side to a story. You know, you've got to weigh up, you know, rationalise, you know, look at it from both perspectives, have your, you know, sort of non-biased cap on. I know if it's a, like, say, a football team you're supporting, you are generally biased, yeah? Because you've got an alliance to that club, an association to that club, whether you're a season ticket holder or a fan. And I know CV and myself have had that discussion many times, and we've brought it on air too. But Abdul, his amateur record, or Ringo, whichever way you wanna drop it, is that 8 unbeaten scraps apart from, you know, Thomas. So 8 unbeaten, yeah? And these have come in the first round, KO. So, it, you know, like I said, he likes to stand in there in the pocket, toe-to-toe, and he likes to let them go. And that's what I saw, exactly what it said on the tin, yeah? I reckon he's a specialist in that kind of like event as well. Plus, he's had success in the African Zone 3 boxing championships. Now, people might say, you what? African Zone 3 boxing championships? Yeah. Well, this is a tournament which To my knowledge, there was about 110 to 130 boxers taking place. There was 14 countries invited, but only 9 sort of like turned up. You know, maybe the other nations had financial issues and they couldn't put a side together. Yeah, but that's a story maybe for another day. So, you know, the countries that, you know, turned up for this African Zone Boxing Championships, you're talking nations or countries like Kenya, Uganda, Congo, you know, Burundi, Cameroon will be in there, Rwanda, Ethiopia, Somalia, and so on and so forth. But like I said, this guy felt really kind of hard done by. 25-year-old claimed that the judges was against him because, you know, he was a black African. But, you know, when you watch his previous fight of England, their boxers create a lot of fouls. That's what Abdul says. He says, like, boxers from, you know, UK, England, they're kind of creating fouls anyway, but they're not getting pulled. And like I said, I had to look at the fight on YouTube. And like I said, it's scrappy. A lot of stuff's going in there. Heads do clash, whether intentionally or unintentionally. In fights, we've seen that happen. We've seen boxers split open, you know, a guy's lip, you know what I mean, with a headbutt. So yeah, it can be kind of dangerous. I thought there was an occasion where Abdul struck his opponent with his head, Thomas. You know, I'm going to say that it was deliberate intention. And the referee, it wasn't the first time, deducted points off Abdul, but finally the referee just had enough and said, you know what, your dance is over. It's done, because I've kind of like seen enough, you know, of that kind of like, you know, that boxing style. I mean, people say, them into boxing said that, you know, it's one sport you don't play. And to a degree, I take that on board. But how many fights have we seen that have just been fixed? Yeah, or fudged? Yeah, or the winner is known and it's been written on a back of a fad packet in a pub. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I don't go full out that boxing's the only sport that you don't play, because we know that there's pure teeth in and all that kind of stuff, what goes off, you know. But Abdul says that, you know, he likes to land heavy punches, and they never seem to count. Instead of counting, they deduct him. That's what he's referring to against this tear-up in the Commonwealth Games, you know. He says he's a black African. He's not shying away from that. He's not shying away from where he comes from. You know, Ugandan born. And believes that the Commonwealth sports, the athlete is treated fairly and in a non-discriminatory manner. You know, so yeah, he's got a lot to say. His records, I reckon his record's still untarnished, despite being disqualified, because I think you've also got to take into consideration what I'm not hearing these kind of so-called boxing experts or whatever you want to call them say, because somebody who's got like a kind of style which is kind of rugged, you know, I think you're going to get heads clashed. And if the other guy is game for a dance, then heads are going to clash. But like I said, there was intentional stuff going on in the pocket. Because, like, you know, he was given a warning. I think the referee did his job. You know, so he got that, you know, what, two rounds. And he was trailing on the scorecard by the judges, I would say. So the decision, you know, he's saying it's not right. He's not happy about it. He said that Thomas elbowed him. He caught him with his elbow. But he's like saying that, you know, that's not really got mentioned. So, yes, it is a kind of sports where you're going to get them accidents will happen. But is it a case of hard luck? Is it a case of he's trying to, you know, stick a plaster over his wounds and saying that he got hard done by? Is it just sour grapes? You know what I mean? So you've got to, I think you've got to kind of like look at that. I mean, the, you know, people might think, them boxing fans out there, they might think, hang on a minute, you said it was in Glasgow, innit, Commonwealth Games, where, you know, yeah, that's right, I did say that, it should have been in Aussie, but basically, Aussie was saying that, it's kind of like, it's too much, yeah, we ain't kind of paying that, you know what I mean, so it was a lot. You know, so it was, you know, was it a statement of intent, maybe? I just think it's kind of like, you know, went to Glasgow because the Aussies thought, you know what, we ain't gonna support this thing anymore. I forgot how much billion. Oz was saying it were, but I think Glasgow, they hosted it for maybe 5% lower than that, you know, maybe 1.5 million or something like that. So yeah, it doesn't come cheap, but that's what happens when you know want to big up your country and get the name out there and bring maybe a bit of revenue into the country as well. Bring people in, you know, but we're not done with that. We're gonna flip it again, gonna go into weightlifting. We like to cover quite a variety of sports on here. I know that Mo's other half kind of sent out a warning to say, you know, we need to talk about different things, and I said well we do. I didn't think that she kind of listened to the show, really. Maybe she listened to it once when the captain was on here. But listening to it once, is that enough to say, yeah, you know, to send a little criticism in there? You know what I mean? But, yeah, I'm sticking out my chest and, you know, I'm you know, quite honestly saying that, yeah, we cover things left, right and centre, because the previous people, which was Talking Balls, which I've mentioned before, it was just pure football. Well, you don't get that on here. You know what I mean? You do get an element of that, but it's not all of it. So we're going to jump into, you know, Campbell. Emily Campbell, if people aren't aware, she's, you know, a heavy lifter. You know, a heavy lifter specialist, yeah? And she did damage in the Commonwealth Games. She wanted to show people that, you know, in fact, this was a statement, what she said, you know, you can love what you do and still be absolutely fabulous while you're doing it. Yeah, as she retained a Commonwealth Game title in the woman's 86 kg weightlifting. Now, let's just kind of like look at this. The statement of intent, You know, what she said. You can love what you do, okay, and still be absolutely fabulous while you're doing it. Who's that directed at? Is she having a little punt at the juicers out there? You know, if you know the program, you know the code, you know where I'm going with it. Yeah? Is she having a dig at him? Has somebody said to her that you're on the juice? Yeah? And she's having a dig to say, do you know what? Me's a natural. Yeah? And I love this. And it can still be absolutely fabulous while you're doing it. Yeah? Because I've got the proof of retaining my Commonwealth game title in the 86 plus weightlifting at the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, Scotland. I think there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, you know, you gotta big up Emily, 32-year-old. She walked away with the gold in the heaviest women's division, you know, in Birmingham 4 years ago, and then stepped back in at the arena, top of the podium again on Thursday after lifting, you know, a game record of a total of 2278 kg. Yeah, that's a record. So, big it up. And I'll repeat what I said. And this is going out to the juicers out there. Yeah? I'm on Emily's side. You can love what you do and still be absolutely fabulous while you're doing it. Yeah? So I echo that. I second it. Yeah? I'll raise a glass to it. You know? And you have to respect that. Yeah? She broke the clean and jerk Commonwealth record also. 163 kg while she registered a 115 snatch lift. Anybody who don't know what that is, it's like when you just, you know, just lift up the bar and you just, with your wrist action, snatch it up, you know. You probably have to go on YouTube to kind of like have a look at that kind of like technical style from Emily, yeah. But she's smashing it out there, she's busting up records and that. As an athlete, you always want to give your best performance. And the reason I've stayed in the sport for so long is because I generally enjoy lifting, Campbell said. Well, she's got nothing to prove now. Regained a title, smashing it, pulling up trees, busting records. Take your cap off to her. Her total was 25 kg, more than the weight managed by City, not talking about Man City, just talking about a Malaysian woman who claimed that silver with a 253 kg. So the Malaysian got silver. A Canadian woman took bronze with a 250. So if you compare, contrast, look at the difference. 250 for bronze, 253 for silver, and, you know, 278 to take the goal. You know what I mean? That's a big difference, that. You know what I mean? I wonder what she yams for breakfast. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, don't even bother going there, you know? So, but, you know, she's saying that after failing to clear the 114 in her second snatch attempt, she lifted 115, like I said, on her third, a result matched by the New Zealander, who missed out on the medals after managing only 130 in the clean and jerk for a 245 total. Stay with me on this, yeah? By the time Campbell stepped up for a opening clean and jerk attempt, the other athletes had completed the final lifts, and then she needed just 138 to beat Drammen. Yeah, well, you know, records busting all the time. I think she's done a wicked job. And like I said, it was held in Glasgow because Ozzy pulled out. You know, they're saying that the infrastructure was there already in Scotland, so that's why they got it again, and the Aussies just walked away from it. Or did they just bottle it? Yeah. You know, the government said that they could not fund it for less than $6 billion. Yet Glasgow did it for 150 mil. Big difference, that, innit? So is somebody kind of like was preparing to line up the pockets? You hear a lot of money going missing, organisations fudging things, being bent, such as like FIFA, you know, all over the socials and stuff, and they even want to, you know, privatise it and make some more corn. You know, Trump's, you know, probably not really into football, but, you know, he was on his own patch, had a little taste of it, made a phone call, deal or no deal, yeah, swung it with FIFA, and then he's thinking, do you know what, I want to make some more. And even though, not going off tangent a little bit, but even though that Spain won it, they've still got woolly pataxas, because US are saying, actually, because you won the World Cup on our soil, you're going to give us some corn. Hold on. Because you played a percentage of matches at this particular venue, you owe us some corn. Hold on. Because we're going to tax Spain anyway. Hold on. The players also get taxed as well. It's pure corn what they're looking. So no wonder Donald's thinking, do you know what? If I get hold of that FIFA president and give him a call, yeah, we can do some kind of bandoola business and negotiate and all that kind of stuff. And that's where we're at now. So UEFA, they've said, do you know what? Donald, we know what you're up to, yeah? So if you're going to pull up trees that way, Europe's going to pull out and we'll set up our own World Cup business. I tell you what, none of that's going to happen. It's just like when they looked at a breakaway with the Premier League and stuff. The FA, Premier League, you know. They're thinking, nah, that ain't going to happen. It's just water under a bridge. I'm not saying it's going to alight again, but there's a long way to go until the next World Cup, which is in actually Spain, so they can retain it on their soil. Portugal are having peace of that, and I believe Morocco in on it as well. So Trump, remove yourself and reduce the speed, yeah? Yeah? Your man just sat up. So yeah, flip it. So just gonna like, in fact, gonna talk about Jermaine Defoe. Everybody who can remember him, quite a handy dandy striker. Didn't, you know, get a lot of England caps, more than what he should get. But not sure if you know about this, but Defoe was actually managing Woking. I was aware that he was looking for a job. It's hard. I'm going to talk it out. It's hard for we to get work in that area. You know what I mean? So even though you've, you know, bust it, pro level, premiership, you've proved it, busting goals, whatever, England caps, you can have. But, you know, if you want to run a manager side, you have to start in the kindergarten. You know what I mean? That's where they put we in the kindergarten. It's like, well, this, we're not like your Lampards and stuff. You know, who can walk into jobs, and your Gerrards and this, that, and the other. You think Stevie G would an upper at Woking, or Lampard, yeah, or even kind of like Rooney? Them boy have kind of privileges, you know what I mean? But we can go into that on a different day, you know. Again, so Jermaine Defoe, was manager of Woking. Listen to this, yeah? He was in charge 2,784 hours. Yeah? I'm not gonna hang you out there to dry, yeah? I'm gonna support other people out there. So it's equivalent of 116 days. Yeah? Equivalent of 3.814 months. Yeah? So Defoe, and again, like I said before, in fact, I said that, you know, I like to look at things. If you're going to judge things, you have to, you know, have an unbiased and look at it, tear it apart, and look at it from all different angles. Yeah. So, setting the scene there, 116 days, manager Woking. Defoe saying it was the impossible. It was impossible to continue. Yeah. And he was appointed, you know, to do that job on the 25th of March. Like I said, I was aware that he wanted to manage. That's where he set his stall out. He actually was in charge for 6 games. His record reads this: 1-6, lost 1, drawn 3. So only lost 1 out of 6 games. Not bad. Not bad. And I think Woking, I think, maybe finished 10th or something like that. You know, don't hold me to that. But Defoe confirmed on Instagram that it was a mutual agreement to leave his position as manager of Woking FC. Unfortunately, circumstances, yeah, have ultimately made it impossible for him to continue in this post. So I want you to kind of like put that on the shelf, yeah? And I want you to kind of like, you know, we need to listen to some of this. Oh, there's something just I play up, man. You need to behave yourself. Yeah? But we soon run with this. Yeah? Just get over this little kind of like commercial thing. And then I'm just going to give you something what came up on TalkSport as well. Here we go. We'll listen now.
Tottenham striker leaving his post as manager of National League Woking after just 4 months and 6 league games in charge. Defoe described his first managerial job as, quote, an eye-opening experience. He was named the replacement for the experienced Neil Ardley in March. He won 2 of those 6 matches, guided Woking to 10th place in the National League last season. Yesterday, Woking confirmed Defoe's short-lived tenure was over after they mutually agreed to part ways with immediate effect just 2 weeks before their opening match of the new season against Sutton. We did ask Jermaine Defoe to come on the programme. He, via his agent, declined, but he has put out a post on social media saying, "Unfortunately, circumstances have ultimately made it impossible for me to continue in the position. I'm extremely proud of the work undertaken during my time at the club. Genuinely felt that we were building something special. My time at Woking has been an eye-opening managerial experience and one that undoubtedly will make me stronger for the next challenge in my career." Cue eye-rolling from Darren McAntony.
Screams of high maintenance.
It was a strange job to take in the first place, wasn't it?
No, I'm going to give him massive credit for Ted, because I always have a dig at these managers, ex-players, who walk into dream management jobs. And I love the fact, like Lampard recently, do you know what I mean? He's gone from
dream manager's jobs. Do you know what I mean? Now, this guy is who's chatting is the chairman of Peterborough, yeah? Listen to what he's got to say.
Premier League dropped into the champ and he's made his way back up. Now, I look at Defoe and I know his agent has been trying to get him job interviews the last couple of years. He wants to be a manager, a coach. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love the fact he took the work.
Yeah, sorry to cut that, but, you know, he's saying that he's aware that Defoe's been looking for a job for the last 2 years, right? Last 2 years, you know, yeah? And then basically dissing him for kind of like walking out on it.
He love it. I love the fact he took the Woking job. great club. I actually had £50,000 deposit in escrow to buy Woking 20 years ago before Peterborough, and it fell apart because of a land thing to the previous owner. So, a wonderful club, good spot. He's gone there. I'd like to know more, but the reality is what it's all screaming at the moment is, well, you know, I'm not getting what I want player-wise and da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, and then he's obviously making those comments, which is alluding to more without saying what it is. I don't love that. I'd like to...
You think he should have come on the programme and
No, I think he should have stayed there, and I think he should have worked hard, and I think he should have got on with it, like a lot of managers up and down the country who don't always get what they want, who don't have an open checkbook, who...
Well, I mean, you know, I suppose he is a... You know, entitled to his opinion. He's saying that he thinks that Defoe should have stayed put, soaked it up, yeah, and done the job. That's him from the outside. But then he's admitted, said that he'd like to know more. Well, I think he should actually look to know more before he's saying that, you know, stay put, get on with it like a lot of managers' job. But then in another breath, he's saying that Defoe's been looking for a job for the last 2 years. Right, so Defoe saying it was impossible. Yeah, I believe that recruitment would have played a part in that. Reports pointed, you know, to frustration regarding budget, player targets, and promised resources. So you know, that's kind of like one side to it. So we've heard from, you know, the chairman of Peterborough spouting it off on Talk Sport, saying that Defoe basically should have stayed put. Defoe saying that, yeah, it was impossible for him to continue. And I've just give you some more information about, you know, budgets and stuff like that. But the Woking director of football, Jody Brown, claims Defoe didn't turn up. So he's coming from a different angle, yeah? So, like we say, modern... couple of sides to a story. Yeah, being quite direct, Defoe never turned up for training, grown concerns within the club before he left his role as head coach, and after only 4 months, right? Defoe's contract at the National League side mutually were terminated, right? So wouldn't have got paid up. Mutually terminated means that there's been a discussion what's took place, okay? I mean, we've, you know, looked at his record. Says he believes that there was onto something special, only lost once out of six. That was looking fairly kind of good. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Defoe goes on to say that, you know, success, he's had success as a player, does not always translate into management. We know that, and leadership, but it's the experience, and you want to do things your way. No matter how many different managers you might have played under, you want to put your own kind of like stamp on it. You've got your own ideas and stuff. Some may be successful, some maybe not. Brown believes that Woking were fully committed to supporting Defoe, and said recruitment, staffing, decisions and football matters were all heavily influenced by Defoe. Yeah? Recommendations, appointment, Defoe as manager was sort of like, you know, was his man, and takes full responsibility. Brown said after meeting with Defoe over several occasions, he believes he's the right person to lead Woking to the next level. But yeah, it's only lasted 6 games. So they're saying that they invited Defoe on to Talk Sport. What, were they trying to make him look idiot or something? Because you know what they're like on there. Defoe's probably thinking, do you know what? I ain't got time for that. I don't have to go on, you know, on the airways, on media to justify, you know, the reasons why. He can do it just in normal media. So... you know, but you know, I hope he will be given some more time, because yeah, I did cut that recording kind of short, but the Peterborough chairman saying that he thinks that's going to do Defoe more damage than good. I'm not kind of like on that kind of thinking really, because like you said, I've given you different sides of the story. Defoe saying, do you know what, this is impossible, yeah, what can I do? But if you look at his results, yeah, does it seem impossible? Yeah, he believes that he was on something good. I mean, his results, yeah, a manager gets judged by the results. Yeah, is that not true? Manager gets results and gets judged. 1-2, lost 1, drawn 3. I said that's not bad to have a record at that level, to do some training with them, get your points across, get your vision across, and let the players do the talking on the pitch. Yeah, so Defoe's judged on that. He's judged on his results on the pitch, not what happened off the pitch. So that chairman, a Peterborough, yeah, he can spout his mouth off and stuff, but I'll back Defoe, judge him on his results. Yeah, now if he did have stayed longer, would have done his kind of career as a management career any good? Who knows? But it's his decision to chuck the towel in, and that's what he did. So there you go. 1841. Wherever you are, I hope you're kind of like taking in notes. It's just me, one CV. I'm gardening leave. We're gonna hear from G for a while, so I'm gonna have to check that dude out and see where him there. I'm gonna skip onto this because there's been a lot of stuff about Argentina. Obviously the World Cup. And let me just kind of like let me see something here now, because I've got something here about this kind of like about this player from Argentina. Just bear with me, just all a tune, yeah, all a tune. All right, see it there. Hear this.
My eyes have failed me. It is impossible that these my two eyes are still functioning, and what I am seeing right now is true. Am I looking at an Argentine black player? I am the first human being, the first person in my entire bloodline, my entire ancestors, my entire generation to witness something like this. Kiki Ramos has made his debut with the under 17 of the Argentine national team, and he's black. Is this AI? Did they change his color? Even looks like Vinicius' younger brother, small. An Argentine player in a black kit. Oh no, a black player. An Argentine kid. Now we all can pretend now, like we all know the allegations towards Argentina, the whole racism stuff and stuff. And in my life, I have never ever seen an Argentine black player. Maybe you have seen. I have never.
Just have to just cut him up there, So what he's basically saying is that Argentina have got a black player in their under 17s, yeah, and he goes by the name of Steven Kiki Ramos, 17-year-old, born Haiti. Now, Argentina haven't had, right, 44 years. I gave you three names a couple of weeks ago who represented Argentina. We all know the story, yeah? Dilute. Yeah, you know when you have a juice and it's too sweet and you have to dilute it or drop some ice in there, yeah, just to kind of settle things down, if you know what I'm saying. So, wow. I mean, is Kiki aware of the history? You know, are Argentina doing it to say, look, you know, is there something more behind this? Yeah. We've got one in our under 17. Is the future, they could say. Yeah. We have Kiki Ramos. I mean, you know, do you know what I'm saying? If this guy progresses under 17, under 18, 19s, 20s, 21s or whatever, don't forget, it can still switch alliances. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily is going to represent the national as the tapas. Yeah. Like, you know, you're talking a full international cap. So, you know, but my message, right, to Steve and Kiki Ramos. Hey, listen, no bother miss a penalty, no. Or don't bother. Yeah? Don't bother be late. Yeah? Because I tell you what, you'll be finished. You know what I mean? You'd be finished. And I tell you what would have been wicked, right? If they could drop an interview upon him and say, you know, what do you think? You're the first dude to represent, yeah, the colours since 44 years. Yeah? Because, like, when you hear somebody talk, there's some talkings, then you know where they're coming from. Yeah? You can kind of basically work things out. You know, like a teacher. You just work them out. You know, like the man called CV when he's here. Him just work them out. G, him just work them out. Captain Mo, he just work them out. You know? So, I kind of like would say, do you know what? I won't bother tell him don't even represent. Just learn your trade, because he's only 17. He's got years before he can make up his mind and choose them years. Play them years wisely. Yeah? So I'm gonna say this at the moment. Shout out to Kiki Ramos. The brave dude. Because I'm sure that his people then must have said, you know, just kind of like enjoy football. Yeah, this is Sweet Talking Sport. It's 18:48, and I'm gonna kind of jump into Rabinho. Rabinho's youth is called Robson De Sousa Jr. 17-year-old. Again, believe it or not, he's got a 43 million bounty on his head. Yeah? I kid you not. 43 million pound bounty. Listen to that name. Robert De Sousa, Jr. Yeah? You've got a couple of Premier League teams tracking him already. Or is it his agent talking? One, Liverpool. Two, Chelsea. Now, Chelsea have got their people then in Brazil. Yeah, they've kind of set up, they've got networks over there and they're paying him good money. Now, you might be aware of this, some of your people out there, right? Robson De Sousa Jr. Do you know who his pops is? Yeah? Now, this might shock you. Yeah? Remember Rabinho? Yeah? Who played for Man City back in what, 2008, I think you were. Who were the manager of Man City? Well, we haven't got CV, but Mancini, Hughes also, also was about in that kind of like in that kind of environment at that kind of time.
So I want to see if but, you remember some of these songs.
Robinho, he came on the scene, yeah, back in 2008. British record at the time, over 30 mil from Italy. Yeah? No, it wasn't Italy. Madrid. Came from Real Madrid, actually, back in 2008. So Robson de Souza Jr. is Pupas Robinho, actually currently doing time for, you know, the SH, which is the S harassment, and that happened what back in 2013. There was an incident in Milan, and that was what was sentenced, but it was in Brazil. Actually, we're talking about you've got Inter Milan and AC Milan, Italy. Yeah, so that's where Robinho got up to no good, got convicted. But the Italy Federation, they failed to extradite Robinho from Brazil. Just like Biggs, you know, once he's there, they've got like a kind of net and they can't pull you out. Yeah, so if you've done any big wrongs, I'm not saying go to Brazil, but you might have to do a Mr. Biggs, yeah? And that's what happened to Robinho. So, I mean, with this story, it's quite funny, really, because who's behind it all as well? You've got Neymar. Neymar is apparently doing some kind of like coaching. And I tell you what, in the food chain, yeah, you've got quite a few people in the food chain what would be looking for certain things, yeah. But do you know what? Just all this.
He's already worth £43 million. This is Robinho's son, and he's already being scouted by two big Premier League clubs. Robson de Souza Jr., better known as Robinho Jr., is only 17 and already making waves at Santos. He recently signed his first professional contract and has already been handed the club's iconic number 7 shirt, once worn by his father. He hasn't even played much for the senior team yet, but he already has a £43 million release clause. Mm-hmm. This is because his skills, composure and potential are already attracting huge attention. Neymar is also personally mentoring him, helping guide his development and giving him insights not many teenagers get his age. The two clubs interested in signing him are Chelsea and Liverpool. Liverpool scouts have been tracking him all season, even when he's warming the bench. But Chelsea aren't standing still. Their South American scouting team is watching every game, hoping to replicate the success they...
You know? Like I said, you know, like... you know, before I put that on, we're talking about the food chain, yeah? So, who's... People might say, do you know what? Who's in the food chain? You know, what are you talking about? You got Neymar, for one. Everybody, looking after him. Developing. Yeah, just relaying some kind of tricks and all them something there. Then you've got, you know, the legal side of things, which you'll have his agent, a football agent, looking after him. So who's manipulated that $43 million price tag on his head? What, not even played much football? And then don't forget, you've got his pops doing time in the pen. He'd be looking for some corn as well. And do you know what? I'd be looking for some shekels too, for publicity. CV would be looking for some shekels, because a City fan, Robinho in Pupa, play for CV side. Captain would be looking some shekels, because jealousy, you know, of Man City and Wednesday, obviously League One, and all them something there, you know, and them are big up themselves for signing, you know, all the players, you know, for developing the team. But then they get broke up and that by Stoke City, broke them up. Question marks are asked. Are Wednesday punching too big? of course. Yeah. Then you have, you can't forget my mother as well, because she can cook the food. Yeah. Which they love that. So you have all the different people on the food chain, innit? Do you know what I mean? And that's why Neymar's sticking around. Yeah. What will happen when Robinho comes out, just protecting his wealth? Because he'd be looking a Khan. Neymar's looking a Khan. Agent looking a Khan. Signing on fee. Do you know what I mean? And so on and so forth. Where does it end? Yeah? But do you know what? Listen out for his name. Robson De Souza Jr. Yeah? Out of the kind of like English clubs, where's he going to end up, do you think, if he came across these shores? I reckon at Chelsea.
You guys ready?
Yeah, because of the links there. Them links are kind of strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. 1855, going to take you into the last kind of like 5 minutes of this show. And I just, again, just kind of like going to give you food for thought here and leave you something what I want you to think about. And this is kind of like an interview where Neville is talking to Cole. That's Ashley Cole. Hear this.
From a racism point of view, the monkey chants were consistent and constant all the way through the game. And I've said, like, looking back, and I've come in the dressing room, you're a left back, I'm right back, I'm number two, you're number three, and never asked you whether it mentally impacted you, how you know, we just literally used to get on with it when things like that happened. To be fair, I used to get on with it.
Yeah, that, just get on with it.
Have you said that before? Because at the time, you know, I remember you say you came out publicly at the time. What impact did it have on you, that game? Because it was obviously horrific.
Impact. No, I think after it...
And this is Ashley Cole speaking now, yeah?
Because no one ever really spoke about it, it just kind of got brushed away and you forget about it. In-game, of course, it was affecting me, you know.
We were bunning him.
I couldn't focus, obviously.
Bunning him.
There was a little incident with the manager as well where half like froze the ball at me. I don't know if you can remember it. Or I go to get the ball.
Bitch, Beans manager.
Yeah.
Didn't he say he was
with Henry and
Reyes. Carragher.
Yes.
Carragher's got history in Addis.
And I've gone to run.
So I don't know where he's going with it.
Sideline, and he's like half.
Carragher's been exposed from time.
Me, and then I'm like gonna argue with him, and
it kicks on again.
Yeah, just mentally, I just wasn't it, and I'm getting ripped, so. It was a bit of both.
Listen,
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I mean, Neville, he's got to come good, hasn't he? Because media and everything is obviously reflected and thought about it. And what Neville's saying is that, you know, he's got deep regrets now. He feels shame over his failings, inadequately supports his teammates, you know, such as like Cole, Wright Phillips, were targeted, you know, by racist abuse back in 2004. And yes, I might be dipping into the basket and stuff, but it's still 2004 to 2026, still relevant. The only thing what's changed is the date and the time, yeah? And who's dropping what, yeah? So, like I said, Neville has got to come clean. He's got to have these kind of conversations. And it's good that people are having these difficult conversations, because it's like, you know, you got to take somebody's feelings, somebody's views, how to feel. Do you know what I mean? What did they do about it? So you might as well say that, yeah, damn right he feels shame about it. Yeah? Because you're in it. Now, if you're not saying to somebody, hey, stop that, you're in it. You're guilty by association. So his failings, should them kind of players be sanctioned for not doing anything about it? I'll leave you with that thought. Sweet. Talking Sport.
Shout out to everybody from a different country.
Sure.
Shout